ॐ नमो भगवते तुभ्यं पुरुषाय महात्मने हरये भूतसिंहाय ब्रह्मणे परमात्मने. O my Lord, full of six opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person in the form of a wonderful man-lion, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj has explained that a devotee can achieve the platform of Bhagavatva, being as good as the Supreme Person, but this does not mean that the devotee loses his position as a servant. A pure servant of the Lord, although as opulent as the Lord, is still meant to offer respectful obeisances to the Lord in service. Prahlad Maharaj was engaged in pacifying the Lord, and therefore he did not consider himself equal to the Lord. He defined his position as a servant and offered respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Om namo bhagavate tubhyam purushaya mahatmane haraye bhutat simhaya brahmane paramatmane. O my Lord, full of six opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person in the form of a wonderful lion and man, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Naikantino me mai jatva hishis Naikantino me mai jatva hishisha Asasete mutra chaye bhavadvidha Tatapi manvantara me taratra Taitye swarana manubungshva bhogan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration of time occupied by Manu. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj, accepting the position of the eternal servant of the Lord, is glorifying Lord Narasimhadev with prayers of love. The nature of love is that one can never glorify enough the one he loves. The nature of love is the greatest pleasure, the greatest satisfaction to one's heart is to chant and hear the glories of the beloved. It is for this reason that when they asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you expect to get out of this chanting of Hare Krishna? He said, chanting Hare Krishna. Because through the process of glorifying the name of Krishna, which is none different than Krishna himself, we purify our heart. And in a pure state, divine love awakens from within. As Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed us, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudichete Kuriye Udoi. That pure love of God, Prema Bhakti, is dormant within the heart of every living being. and by the process of chanting the names of God and associating with those divine personalities who are always glorifying God, that natural instinct to love God is awakened from within our heart. When we chant the holy name of Krishna, we are invoking the natural sentiment of love that is sleeping within us. We have sung today this song of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole, Kotha Nidra Jayo Maya, Pisachira Kole. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleading with his children. Wake up, wake up. He is calling to the love of the soul to wake up. He is crying out to the bhakti, the pure bhakti that is within your heart, to wake up. How long will it remain asleep, laying in the lap of the witch of Maya? When this love is awakened, then the natural symptom of that love is that one cannot stop thinking of Krishna. It is impossible to stop thinking of Krishna. Just like when Uddhava came to Vrindavan as a messenger of Lord Sri Krishna. After Lord Sri Krishna was away from Brajadham for many, many, many years, the gopis were saying that we want to forget Krishna. After all, look at what he has done to us. First he played upon his flute, the Bamsi, and he called us to the Bamsi Vatri, and we gave up our husbands, our children, our prestige as chaste women. We gave up everything in this world only to satisfy him, for no other purpose than to make him happy. And then he told us that our love was so great that he had nothing within his own power to repay us. Krishna said that all the opulence that I have in the kingdom of God is not a worthy reciprocation to the love that you are offering me, to the service, to the surrender that you have offered. Therefore, all I can tell you, my dear gopis, is kindly be content with that love itself, because that is the greatest, most priceless of all treasures. And after saying like this, Akrura means not cruel. But Akrura, he did not live up to his name, because he became the personification of cruelty to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He had taken Lord Krishna and Balaram away. And as they were leaving, we laid our bodies before the chariot, praying, my dear Lord Shamsundar, if you must go, please let the chariot go over our bodies first. Because to leave this body is not a very painful thing. But to go on living in Vrindavan, in separation from our dear Lord Shamsundar, that is too painful to even think of, what to speak of live. But Krishna, he told us that you kindly get out of the path of the chariot, my dear gopis. I will return as soon as I finish the business that I have in Mathura. But he has never returned. Every day we wait. Every day, we are simply expecting him to come
as he did in the past, as the sun is setting, returning with his cows and his friends from the pasture grounds of Brajabhumi. But every day he does not come. Such pain. And what is he doing? He is living in the cities of Mathura, Dwaraka, where there are very sophisticated society women, far more intelligent than us, who are so foolish to give our hearts to such a cunning young man. Therefore, we want to stop thinking of Krishna, but we cannot. It is not possible, not even for a moment. Unavoidably, irresistibly, our tongue 24 hours a day speaks about his beauty and discusses his holy pastimes. And our minds are constantly in an intense submersion in the ocean of his transcendental qualities. This is the nature of love of Krishna. When you love Krishna, the greatest pleasure is to glorify him. And the greatest pleasure is to hear his glories. That is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the residents of Kulinagram that you can tell a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness because he is always chanting the names of Krishna. We may become very big philosophers. We may become very expert at defeating all opponents in logic and argument and presenting very excellently the message of the philosophy of Gita. And this is certainly a very divine gift of God. But the conclusion of all the philosophy of the Shastra is to taste the sweetness of the holy name. For in the age of Kali Yuga, Harinama, Harinama, Hariname, Bhakevalam, Kalona, Stevana, Stevana, Steva, Gatiranyata. Expertise in philosophy, jnana, even bhakti jnana, alone cannot transport you across the ocean of birth and death. The only single thing that can cross you, that can take you across the ocean of Kali Yuga, is the chanting of the holy names. And Srila Prabhupada, in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, all of our philosophy, all of our books, all of our argument and logic is only meant for one purpose alone, to induce people to chant Hare Krishna. Because it is in the chanting of Hare Krishna that the purification of the heart takes place. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the symptom of one who is actually advanced in spiritual life is that he takes great pleasure in chanting the holy names of Krishna. Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro prema mritam boniti. In the prayers to the six Goswamis, Srila Srinivasa Acharya prays that the six Goswamis, their first quality that he glorifies, first in order, is that they are always chanting the holy names, dancing in great happiness, and inducing others to do so as well. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to expound the Sankirtan movement. That is the movement which is teaching the congregational chanting of the holy names. Kirtan means the chanting of the holy name, and Sankirtan specifically indicates the chanting of the holy names in the congregation of devotees. And it is the developing of this taste for chanting, the developing of the mood of taking shelter of the name, that is really the essence of our spiritual progress. Someone may be very simple, but if we find that that person is genuinely and sincerely taking shelter of the holy name, we can understand that this person has really achieved the real mercy of Lord Sri Krishna and the spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj is here glorifying Lord Narahari. With love. And this is his qualification. Simple 5-year-old boy. But because of his great love for glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the most exalted amongst all saintly personalities, and his name is glorified even to this day. Srimad Bhagavatam literally means that beautiful literature which describes the beauty of the Personality of Godhead, who is possesses all 6 opulences. And Srimad Bhagavatam exclusively contains the glorification of Lord Sri Krishna, the glorification of his various avatars, and the glorification of his devotees. So the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us very simple, the process of purification. To constantly glorify the various forms in which the Lord descends to bestow his mercy upon all living beings. And especially to glorify, as described in 10th canto, the original form of Lord Gopinath in his original abode of Gokul. But that is not enough, because we know that Bhagavatam, more than the glorification of the Lord, contains the glorification of those devotees who have given their lives in the service of the Lord. In the story of Lord Narsingadev, Narada Muni, who is narrating this story, factually, most all the story is the glorification of Prahlad. And at the very, very end, there is the glorification of his divine master, Lord Narahari. How can you separate Prahlad from Lord Narasingadev? When you glorify Prahlad Maharaj, you are automatically glorifying Lord Narahari, Hari, to the highest. Mad bhakta puja abhyadika. So devotees, whatever endeavor a devotee makes to surrender his life to the service of Guru and Krishna. All others should see that as being glorious. Whether that person is pure or not pure, 100%, that is something else. That is between that person and Krishna. But the fact that a person is endeavoring with his life and soul to assist the Lord's mission is glorified in the eyes of God, and thus should be glorified in the eyes of all men of honest and sincere hearts. Therefore, what is the sense of us saying negative remarks about one another? Save and except you are in a position to help that person spiritually. Therefore, a devotee who has an honest and innocent heart cannot help from glorifying those who are sincerely engaged in the service of the Lord. And such a devotee, it is more painful than death to hear the criticism of such a soul. This is the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the real sign of an advanced soul is he loves to glorify Krishna and he loves to glorify his devotees. And we must follow in the footsteps of such advanced souls. And then we too can become an advanced soul. We will never think ourselves to be advanced souls as long as we are glorifying Krishna and his devotees. As soon as you stop glorifying Krishna and his devotees, then you start thinking yourself to be an advanced soul. You start thinking, I'm better than somebody else. But as long as you are busy glorifying Krishna and his devotees, then you are always putting yourself in a humble position of the servant. You are always understanding your own insignificance. And that is Krishna consciousness. That is true Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Speak very loud, please.
You were mentioning that qualities that speak to a woman are also tranquilous. Things like that are spiritual. They are not just mundane morality, not in the mode of goodness. So, these are basically in the mode of goodness. How are they translated?
They are spiritual if they are exhibited in the service of the Lord. If they are not exhibited in the service of the Lord, they are material. They are at the most in the mode of goodness. But to consider them to be material when they are engaged in the loving service of the Lord, when they are exhibited by a devotee of the Lord, that is a great mistake. You see, the transcendental platform is called Sudha Sattva. What does that mean? Sattva means goodness. Sudha Sattva means pure goodness. Sattva-guna is the mode of goodness. But when one is engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one is also living according to the mode of goodness, but he is engaging that type of life in Krishna's service. Therefore, it is sudha-sattva. It is pure goodness. It's not that you give up goodness. It's that you purify it by connecting it to Krishna. Huh? So the mode of goodness is the way a devotee lives. But he dovetails that mode of goodness in the service of the Lord. Therefore, it is transformed from sattva guna to sudha sattva. But, of course, sarva dharman paritya jamame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isyame masucha. If Krishna tells you to surrender, then on the transcendental platform, you are no longer liable to the ethical codes of the modes of goodness. But if he does not specifically tell you to transgress those principles, then you have no right to do so. Honesty, truthfulness, chastity, these are things in the mode of goodness, but they are also the qualities of a devotee. But he is engaging these characteristics, these qualities, in God's service. Therefore, they are completely transcendental. Sometimes neophyte devotees think because we're transcendental, we do not have to be truthful. We do not have to be honest. We do not have to be chaste. Because we're transcendental. We've abandoned all varieties of religion. We've surrendered. But what does it mean to surrender? Part of surrender means to live in the mode of sudha-sattva, pure goodness. Huh? That means to be in the mode of goodness, but in the service of Krishna. Then it is no longer the mode of goodness. It is the transcendental platform of consciousness. According to the Shastra, those in the mode of ignorance and passion have to raise themselves to the mode of goodness before they can transcend the modes of material nature. So therefore, if we cling to the modes of passion and ignorance and consider that we're transcendental, it will be a great impediment in our spiritual advancement. But at the same time, transcendental means that the mode of goodness is not simply that you are lazy. This is the tendency. The mode of goodness and the mode of ignorance are very similar. For one who does not understand the real essence of what is the mode of goodness, can become very lazy. No. Transcendental means that you surrender your life, your soul, everything to Krishna. But you do not give up the basic principles of morality. Otherwise, why do we vow to follow the four regulative principles? Huh? The four regulative principles are to keep us in goodness. And in that state of goodness, by chanting the holy names, we become transcendental. Sudha-sattva, pure goodness. But you see, you cannot be attached to the goodness. You have to be attached to the service. If the spiritual master or Krishna tells you to lie, you should know that that is sudha-sattva. Huh? But unless he tells you to lie, you have no right. I remember one time, one Sankirtan devotee at New Vrindavan, he stole some candy in a store, and he got caught and put in jail. And he called New Vrindavan and said, please get me out of jail. I did it because I didn't want to spend Krishna's money for this candy. So I tried to steal it. He had the money. You cannot commit immoral activities in the name of Krishna just because you're a devotee. We have no right to transgress the codes of morality just because we're devotees, unless Krishna tells us to. It's like there is a story of the Alwars, the disciples of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And in order to build the temple at Sri Rangam, one of the Alwars was instructed to take all these rich people on a boat, on a tour. And he had a mystic power that he could walk on water. So then he was instructed by his guru that you get the money from everyone, then you walk back and sink the boat. So he did like that. Now that seems to be immoral. But it wasn't immoral because it was the arranged, it was the will of God. They all got liberated and the temple was built. So we have no right to transgress the principles of the moral ethics of society. Unless for some very, very transcendental purpose, Krishna himself or his divine representative tells us it must be done. Then we cannot be attached to the codes of morality. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.